by Rebecca Spencer.
Mass curls it, and that's a wonderful goal!
And Rhea Percival from almost the halfway line.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to N17 Women. This is Abby speaking, and I'll be your host today. I am also joined by Caroline, Rachel, and Sean. How are you guys?
I'm good. You know, I think I've recovered from the disappointment of this weekend and ready to just move on.
Oh God, I'd completely forgotten about the men's game until you said that. I mean, the women's game was sort of disappointing, but not in that, like, recovering from way.
Oh. Yeah, not to the same extent.
I'll just be like totally zoning that one out. I'm concentrating on the fact that there's sunshine and, you know, it's all getting better.
Yeah, I think last two weekends ignoring the men's game is probably been a good tactic. Allowing the women's game to take over these games is much better. Like it was a few seasons ago where whenever anybody had to choose between the men's and the women's game and they chose the men's game, they always regretted it because the women had a better result. So channeling that kind of energy for next season.
That's so true. I definitely like half watched both games and then immediately went out for my long run and forgot that any of it had happened until I had to review the women's game for this. So yeah, let's get into that. Interesting lineup today, at least a little bit. We had Becky in goal, Amanda Nielsen, Luana Bueller, Amy James-Turner, and Charlie Grant across the back. Olga and Evelina resumed their partnership in midfield with Grace in the number 10 role. And then we had Jess at striker and Beth and Tilly on the wings. There were a few interesting things to note here. The first was Ash on the bench with Charlie grabbing a start. Also that Evelina, Olga, Grace midfield, which we saw a bunch earlier in the season. Sometimes we had the Finnish double pivot with Grace on the wing, sometimes central, but it is back. And we also saw the reprisal of noted winger Bethany England, or as I like to say, Wingland. Anyway, what did you guys think when you saw all that?
I love that you added that little pun in that wasn't in the notes just so you could laugh at it live. It's so bad. But yeah. I'm not sure that she'd want to be called that. I guess when I saw the lineup, I did actually think, for some reason, I did guess that Beth was going to be playing on the wing. I don't know why, because obviously Grace could have been from the starting lineup. And there were moments when they kind of moved around a little bit, but she was mostly there. Yeah, I mean, I guess we can talk about that a little bit when we discuss how the game went and how she played within it. It's probably not her favourite position, and I don't think it's the place where she's strongest. But, you know, she'd done a good job there against Manchester United. It seemed perhaps overkill against Brighton. But I was happy to see Evelina and Olga back together again, reunited. And, you know, I was happy to see Charlie mostly because I was happy for Ash to get a bit of a rest because I just wanted to make it to Wembley. So that was my main logic of being happy about that one.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone got a chance to listen to Beth's post-game comments, but she definitely does not like to play at the winger position, it sounds like. Not that she said it in, you know, kind of a stroppy way, but I think she was just kind of being honest, which is pretty much what we always expect from Beth. But I did think it was funny that although she was, you know, playing on the wing, we saw Charlie getting into way more advanced positions for a lot of the first half. And agreed. I think, you know, it's always good for Ash to get a rest because she is just crucial. And I mean, we saw that in the second half as well. I kind of thought it might have been Amanda that got, you know, benched for some rest instead. But if she's feeling good, then she's feeling good. And I thought Charlie had a pretty good game overall. So it was nice to see her get another start.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it's Amanda who gets the rest in the next game. But definitely supportive of Ash getting a bit of time off after all those bags of ice that have been sitting on her foot after numerous games and 120 minutes and cramp and all sorts of things. So, and when she came on, as we said, we'll talk about later, but she clearly showed why she's so needed for us. Yeah, I mean, other than that, really, I mean, as we said, Olga and Evelina was Rachel's choice for resuming partnership in the middle when we spoke last week. So good to see that. And obviously, it means Olga's getting a bit more time again. We knew that there was going to be a bit of a change there because obviously Drew's being rested with a slight injury. And yeah, Grace does seem to be being played more in the number 10. Is that because Robert's wanting her to stay and trying to convince her to stay by playing in the position she wants to play in? Who knows? But I don't know that she's been as effective over the last few weeks as she had been earlier on in the season. So I think that's an interesting point as well. And again, I think, yes, Jess, we're practicing for Man United, aren't we, Jess, at striker to run in behind. But against Brighton, I don't know that that was necessarily needed. And we saw later on that Beth up top was quite effective. So, yeah, I mean, an interesting lineup, not wholly unexpected. And yeah, I think a certain amount of thought ahead for the final.
Yeah, let's get into the game then. So pretty early on, we started creating some good moments. Notably, to me at least, there was a chance where Tilly picked up the ball on the wing, dribbled inside, and found a beautiful pass to Charlie, but Charlie put it wide. A few minutes later, we had a big spell of possession around Brighton's box where a number of players had chances, although we didn't quite put any of those away. And that flurry of opportunity continued with our players not quite picking the right final pass a few times. And of course, ultimately, it was Brighton who struck first. So yeah, let's talk about that goal. Brighton played the ball out to Brammer from midfield. And even though Amanda was covering her, Brammer still managed to create space and get off, quite honestly, an incredible cross right to the middle. Turland connected with that, point blank right in front of Becky. And Becky was able to pull off a really great initial save, but Turland was there for the rebound. And of course, she put that away. So yeah, what went wrong there?
I don't know if it was Amanda covering her. I think it was actually Tilly covering her. So I think Amanda had drifted inside and Tilly had caught her on the overlap.
Oh my Not gosh, that I'm think getting that's... overwhelmed by blonde ponytails.
It is too many Swedes. That is always the problem. But yeah, I'm not blaming Tilly for that, but obviously she's probably a slightly less good defender than Amanda in terms of stopping that cross coming in. You know, the big problem obviously was that Turland, who has been Brighton's highest scorer and has scored against us in the two games previous to this, was left pretty much open to take a header and then was the first to the rebound. And yeah, you know, she was in front, she was close to Amy, but in front of her and further away from Luana, but behind her. So Luana was in a better position to stop her, but was much too far away. Yeah, communication between the two of them, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think the communication was too great between Luana and Amy in this game, because right before this moment, they had had another chance where Amy had kind of put in a really short back pass and Becky had to make a big save. So it's I felt a little bad for Becky in this kind of sequence of like two really big chances for Brighton and, you know, feeling like she did not have quite enough support from the defense there. But yeah, I mean, Paulina Bremer, very strong player, and she had kind of been out with injury for a while and just came back in the previous game. So I was kind of hoping she wouldn't be able to start in this one. But she definitely made a difference for them. So fair play. And just to get back to the Grace, you know, topic of her position real quick, I did think that part of it was wanting to continue giving Matilda some more minutes out on the wing. And I think, obviously, as we saw in this case, defense is still an area of opportunity for her. But I do think what we've seen from her in the attack continues to be really exciting. So I think that was probably some of the rationale behind putting Grace central in this game. And I thought Grace had a better game than she has in, you know, the last few appearances for her. Like, she was getting into better positions. And just, I think when she's in that central role, she's able to get more involved. So I liked it.
Just on Grace, I mean, I also thought she had a better game, but I definitely think she warmed into it. At the sort of first 20 minutes or so, it felt like a lot of her, She was, you know, great on the ball, but a lot of her decision making in terms of passes wasn't that good. By the second half, by the sort of end of the first half, second half, she was much stronger, and I think that she was an important player in this game. But it was one of those ones where, was it Abby said earlier, like that, or no, Sian had said that she sort of has been sort of strong at points, but not as consistent across some of the most more. I mean, even at the start of the season, she was having really great games and having games where she faded a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of gotten to the point for me where it's like our standards for her are so high now that it's like when like she still had like like a pretty good game, and I felt like we really appreciated, like, for one, her press resistance. Like the ball was just sticking to her a lot, which I think was a really useful thing. But missing those like brilliant grace moments, you're like, oh, where'd she go?
Also, I think her shooting has not been at the quality that it was. A lot of her shooting has been straight at the goalkeeper or things like that in recent games. So great that she's getting those shots off again and doing it, but it's still not where it was earlier on in the season, which is, you know, a shame for us with the way we're scoring at the moment or not.
Yeah, we did a lot of that today, didn't we? I feel like I counted like four or five shots straight at the goalkeeper. And yeah, funnily enough, I was just about to mention a grace moment too, because she did have one very interesting chance where she sort of robbed a defender of the ball. And that was kind of the moment where I was like, aha, there's the Grace Clinton I know. So like, yeah, like great pressing work and good work to like force that turnover, but then she sort of stumbled over the ball. I didn't really see much contact from any Brighton players, but she was asking for a penalty for that. I don't know if there was that much in it. Yeah, we had a couple other interesting moments through the rest of the half as well. I noticed we reprised that same corner routine, or at least a similar one to the one that resulted in Martha's goal in the cup semifinal, with Tilly coming short and putting in a cross. I obviously didn't do the trick this time. I also saw Jess creating a nice chance for Beth at one point, and a wonderful Tilly back heel down the line. But yeah, none of that came off at all, and we went into the first half down 1-0. What were y'all's halftime thoughts?
Just want to say, I thought that Jeff chance was great. Well, best chance that Jeff, where Jeff's had sort of squared the ball across the top of the area for her. That was just like, it was nice because, well, I mean, starting point, Evelina really found Jess, which is really nice in a really great position. Jess running forward, but then also slowing it down and making absolutely the right choice. So she didn't cross it to Charlie, who was kind of a bit more surrounded, but waited for Beth to be arriving. And it was, you know, it was one of those ones, it would have been a perfect goal. It wasn't, but it would have been. And yeah, some of those other chances were good. So I guess kind of going into halftime a little bit frustrated. It felt like we were having definitely more and better chances than Brighton, but just not taking them. And sometimes they were falling to the wrong person. So that one had fallen to Beth, but you know, a couple of chances had fallen to Charlie. She's clearly not going to be the best person to be taking those. We've seen her score a goal, but you know, she isn't our best goal scorer. Yeah. So I guess I was slightly minorly frustrated because you always worry that if you haven't taken your chances, it's going to come out back to bite you.
Yeah, I think going into halftime, I was just a little frustrated that we hadn't already equalized because we did have the chances. And, you know, speaking of some of Grace's passing not being the best, like I felt like that was kind of an issue across the board when we got into the final third, with Jess's really great pass being the obvious exception. So yeah, just a little bit of frustration, but also feeling like there was no reason why we couldn't come back into this game, as we have seen this team do many times this season.
Yeah, I think that was my overriding kind of calmness, was that we have become quite good at leaving it late and still getting the job done. And given the performance in the first half, there's no reason why we couldn't have done that again, really. Yes, would have been nice to take our chances, but we've seen that this season. And so going into the second half, I thought every chance that we were going to still get the win out of this one.
Just while we're shouting out skills in the first half, it's just worth saying there was just absolutely beautiful moment from Amanda where she seemed to take on like everyone, to get the ball out of the defensive third and then brought it all the way down the pitch, going past. I reckon she probably passed five Brighton players along the way before laying it off. Didn't come to anything, but it was one of those moments where you just remember that Amanda is a really skillful player. I think she's had a couple of games where it's been a bit more tough, and it was just one of those moments where you literally just kind of go, ooh, and it was beautiful.
That's so true. I remember seeing that and being like, girl, I didn't know she did that. Or like, rather that I had like forgotten that she did that. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Here's to many more. So yeah, let's get on to the second half then. Wilhelm did not make any changes right away, but in the 56th minute or so, Wang Shuang, Molly Barchip, and Kit Graham replaced Matilda Wimberg, Luana Bühler, and Olga Atunen. I believe this saw Grace move out to the wing while Kit filled the deeper role in midfield and Wang Shuang took up the 10 position. Was that what you all saw? And also, in general, what did you make of that triple sub?
I mean, first of all, great to see Molly back. I can't imagine how it feels to have been played like more than any other player, then to get ill and not to be able to work your way back into the team. We all love Molly, and I can't, as I said, I think I said last week, I can't imagine her not playing in the final. But then equally, when you've got a partnership that's working, although in this game, maybe showed why we need Molly around as well. But great to see her back and some of her gameplay back. And yeah, we've grown used to seeing Kit come on in this at this sort of time period and bring a different dimension and do good things. And we've been wanting to see Shuang Wang again, and what she can do. It feels like a little while since we've seen her, so great to have that opportunity to see some more from her. And with the running that Charlie and with the running that Tilly and people have been doing, you can see why they needed a bit of a rest there. Tilly was certainly not quite making the impact that she had in the first half at this point.
In terms of where they were playing, I think that Shuang Wang went to the left wing and Jess to the right wing, so that then we had Beth playing as the nine, and Grace didn't move. She remained in the 10 for most of the rest of the game, as far as I can tell. I think it might have changed. No, then because when Jess came off, Ellie also went on to the wing. So Shuang, obviously, she was a little bit mobile, and the way she plays, she cut inside quite often, but she was playing out wide.
I think eventually, I do think I feel like for a little bit I did see Grace on the wing, but just for like a minute or a little bit. I
Yeah,
don't know.
no, it's totally possible that they were like, that. You know what? They definitely
Yeah,
would have flipped
Willingham doesn't believe
around.
in positions, does he?
Exactly,
Why
exactly.
are we
Like,
even having this conversation? No, I'm just joking.
we've seen the fluidity across the forward line the whole season. So yeah, it kind of really doesn't matter what position they're at, to be honest. But I do
Yeah.
think the Shuang sub for Matilda was interesting because they're very different players, so it is like having a different dimension come into the attack. And I think to me, it looks like she's still not 100% fitness wise, kind of similar to how we saw Beth earlier in the season. Like I think she just needs a little more time to get back to her peak. But she did have that one really great pass to Beth later in the second half that could have resulted in a goal. So I think she definitely made an impact. And with Molly, I think she had a little bit of rest to shake off, but by the end of the game, it was like, oh, this is what we've been missing, from Molly, kind of that passing vision and just the calmness, kind of like Sean said, we really have missed that at times. So yeah, I was just delighted to see her back. And anytime Kit comes on the pitch now, I just feel a sense of safety, because I think she's just so reliable and consistent. And I know we're going to get on to talking about one of her highlights later in the game, but yeah, she's just it's kind of incredible. Players like her and Jess, who like we kind of knew they had this in them, but now it's that we come to expect it, and that's just really great to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously one of the things we can talk, having Kit on the pitch, she just again has the ball just sticks to her. She just is able to keep the ball and progress the ball. you know, generally, and we'll talk about an exception, her passing is not her strongest point, but her ability to just like drive forward in the center of the pitch is really impressive. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think Shuang is very creative. And so it does, as you said, like it is that new dimension, and you don't always know exactly what she's going to do. She moves around, you know, she changes position a lot more than most of our other players, other than Grace probably. And so in that sense, it just means it's a different problem for the opposition. And Molly, I swear, like, yeah, I think like the first 5 minutes, she was like, there was a couple of like slightly misplaced passes or short passes. And then what's interesting, I was thinking, she plays really differently. So there was like a lot of time where she kind of like sort of plays around with the ball even. It's not even, I don't even know how to say this, but like she'll often pass back and forth to Evelina like three times, and they're just kind of like finding a better position from which to take, to make a pass. And I think it's that level of comfort, but also that she's thinking a lot about where those passes, where to, you know, where to play the ball forward, that's quite interesting. And so it, and there's more patience, I think, in terms of playing the ball out from defense when she's on the pitch, because she is doing that. And she's also just like, and something that I've noted, because it happened a couple of times, and it was actually the thing that preceded the passes that got, that ended in the goal, is that she switches the play from, like, she was playing at center back at left, and she will switch the play on a diagonal to Ash. And again, we haven't talked about Ash coming on yet, but like, obviously it happened at that point. And I think A, they're familiar with each other, and B, Molly has, you know, she's just got like those long balls that are kind of pinpoint, and then Ash has the ability to bring them down. And it's something that we don't see, the, and that kind of creates space in a way that I don't think either Luana or Amy do, even though Luana's got a decent long ball. So yeah, I think it's really hard because Molly is clearly the best centre back on the ball. But at the same time, our defensive record of Amy and Luana is, as our two centre backs, is better than it is with either Molly and Amy or Molly and Luana. So on the other hand, our, you know, goal scoring is better with Molly and Luana there. So I just wonder, like, if there's something about Molly being in that position that it very much helps us going forward. Whereas the sort of Amy Luana centre back pairing is a more defensively solid one. Anyway, I don't know.
But I think this is the good thing about the way that we've had a few games now where we could do a little bit of experimentation with these different partnerships, kind of like Robert has been talking about, you know, wanting to be able to grow these other partnerships. You know we already have quite a few within the squad that have been working well, but we're getting to the point where we're actually utilizing the whole squad from game to game and also within games. And I think that's what has really helped take us up to another level this season, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's definitely something like that's a big positive I'd be taking away from this game, just in general, even though, you know, the result wasn't exactly what we wanted. Yeah, so I know you hinted at this a little already, Rachel, but we did have that next sub where Ash replaced Charlie, and that was in the 77th minute. So yeah, before we talk about kind of what Ash did with that, let's pause for a moment to talk about how Charlie Grant did in her start. What'd you make of her?
I think mixed, I guess. I think that she's got a lot of pace, and so her recoveries were really good, and that was impressive at times. And she obviously was getting forward and getting into good positions, and so was in the box, and that was really good. When they swapped, so in the second half, she was playing down the wing. That's much easier to see when you're, you know, at the grounds. And there was like at least two times where she literally fell over her feet. And I kind of feel like it just speaks to her not quite yet being strong enough with the ball. And so she was like running into players and just running out of ideas. And so that was happening. And I think that she's also, you know, just again, the communication positioning, some of those things are slightly lacking. And I think that probably Ash being back as someone who has played more often with all of the other defensive players, especially, means that, you know, in comparison, Charlie doesn't feel quite as secure to them because they are less certain about what she's going to do. Not that Ash is anyone who doesn't be expected, so I don't know if that's probably a way to say it, but in terms of like covering, she's pretty good. So
yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty much what we've come to expect from Charlie, wasn't it? Some great runs forwards, some great runs back, and the usual kind of not being afraid to get involved and get stuck in with those tackles and things, but at the same time some indications that she is still a young player and she's still got a bit to learn. And that's what we knew, that's what we were expecting with Charlie. She is not the finished article yet, but I think great signs for the future, and you know, and what better person to learn from than Ash.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I was literally going to say, you know, what better player to learn under than Ash Neville, because we've seen in Ash's game that she really is a complete player at this point. You know, you can count on her defensively. You can count on her to get involved in the attack. You can count on her to create chances. Because I feel like that's one thing we haven't really seen much of from Charlie, is sort of, you know, evidence of great crossing ability. She definitely is good at getting on the end of, you know, her own runs. But yeah, I think any time that she's getting to learn from Ash is a good thing. And I'm sure she will have taken lessons from, you know, watching Ash's sub appearance in this game.
Yeah, it's so true. I think like I was pretty happy with Charlie's performance, but the second Ash came on the pitch, it was just like she just had so much gravitas. Like she just like she is so just present on the field in like all the ways that you would want. And yeah, this time the result of her introduction was pretty immediately clear. There was a goal about 4 or so minutes after she stepped on the pitch. Kit won the ball back in midfield thanks to some excellent defensive positioning. And then she played a really inspiring pass sort of behind herself out to Ash on the wing. And Ash patiently dribbled centrally and sniped in across to Beth, who pulled off a really tricky finish for that equalizer. So yeah, how great was that?
It was amazing. But I just want to highlight that even before that, so the preceding bit to that was Molly ping the ball wide to Ash. Ash ran up with it, like ran up the pitch, had a 1-2 with Jess that didn't finish, like didn't get, and was interrupted. And that's when the Brighton player like passed backwards that Kit interrupted. So it was like it was like recycling that attack. So Ash was like halfway up already, and it was kind of, so none of that would have happened without Molly, without Kit, without Ash, all of them subs, all like absolutely centrally involved in sort of moving the ball forward.
And like not for nothing, all four of the players that you just mentioned, Molly, Kit, Jess, and Ash, have spent a lot of time on the pitch together, right? So it's like clearly like some sort of familiarity thing going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And just that ability to sort of, yeah, find each other, move the ball forward, you know, find those passes and like know where each other is going to be. Absolutely, completely that. And then obviously like Ash knowing that if Beth is playing at 9, which obviously she only had been for 10 minutes by then, probably, you can cross the ball into the box and she's going to look for it. And also you saw Ash, and you know, Ash's crossing is variable. She's had games where she's crossed the ball not that brilliantly, but it was really clear that she was looking up. She had looked up like several times to see Beth's run, and she passed it exactly into that run. And so I also think it's something that she's been working on, and you know, we saw the product of that. So yeah, and all the credit to Beth for making that run.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Ash's crosses is that she's willing to make the riskier ones that we don't always see from other players. And, you know, sometimes they don't come off, but in this case, it really came off. And it was the kind of goal that really just makes you get up off your seat. Not least because of the finish from Beth, like that was very sort of acrobatic and, you know, a quality of finish that you don't see from, you know, most players. Like she really is an elite finisher. And that's why it's great that she's getting back into like her best form right as we're two games away from a huge, massive game. But yeah, I'm glad, Abby, that you prompted me to go back and watch this highlight again, because I had not even picked up on that pass from Kit Graham. And it was, basically like a no-look pass, kind of ahead feel of like a basketball move to me. But way more difficult to pull off with your feet, I would say. So yeah, that was incredible. And like you said, Rachel, that only comes from having familiarity with Ash from years and years of playing with her. I don't think we would see that connection necessarily from, two other players on the pitch.
Yeah, I think it was just a brilliant goal in every aspect, wasn't it? And I think I feel like we haven't seen so much of Ash's goal contributions in recent weeks. She's been very much a defensive player, and it was really lovely to see her getting that opportunity and showing exactly what she can do. And Beth was clearly delighted with the pass, and and showed that appreciation after she'd celebrated. She was straight away, thanking Ash for that pass, and it was beautiful. But Kit was, that just a brilliant pass from her, and nice to see those players that we've been supporting for years and years coming together with the player who's relatively new but seems to be Spurs through and through after about 2 minutes, despite coming from a local rival. So yeah, just a brilliant goal, and if we can play more like that, there's no end to, I think, what we can do.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen Ash. In fact, I think we all have seen her go on a big goal and assist run after getting one against Brighton, right? So, fingers crossed, long may it continue. I'm talking about 2 seasons ago for those of you who need the refresher. Anyway, the rest of that game was not without chances for a winner. In the 91st minute, Beth hit the crossbar after some lovely team play, and Ellie couldn't quite get to the rebound. A few minutes later, Grace put a header directly at the keeper. So many times throughout the game when we could have grabbed another, but we did not, so it ended all square. How are we feeling about that?
I mean, I think it's a lost opportunity. Robert was talking before the game about it, us being the favourites for that game, and I do think we need to take those kind of gauntlets almost being laid down and actually pick them up and go, yes, no, that is us. We do believe in ourselves, and we are going to take that. I think it's great that we got back into it, and it probably was a reasonably fair result at the end of the day, but we need to be putting our chances away, because we had a lot of chances and we didn't put them away. So that is something we need to work on. Hopefully the goal that Beth scored and the 3 in 3 games now from Beth shows that she's starting to find that goal scoring form, because it wasn't an easy goal, and she has been missing some easy ones. So hopefully scoring that will help her. Although she said post-match that she didn't feel like she'd had a good game, and even she was voted player of the match, or she was elected player of the match, and she kind of said, it wasn't really me, but thank you anyway. So yeah, I think there's some good signs and some interesting stuff, and it's difficult at the moment because we are experimenting so much, and that's what this season has been about, really. So again, we said last week we're not too worried about position in the table, and I think that was borne out by this as well. And just a shame we not to get that kind of role of getting some good feeling behind us, but I still think some great bits in there.
Yeah, I think for me, the big positive of this game was getting some of those players minutes who needed them, trying out some new combinations. It's we really needed kind of this run of games against opponents who, the results are not massively important in the context of our season to be able to do some of this experimentation. And so for that reason, I wasn't too upset about it being a draw. I feel like Brighton did have a pretty good game overall, and didn't make it easy for us, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was weird because on the one hand, it felt like we had a million chances, especially because so many of them came in the last 5 minutes or so. And we did have, and there was bursts of time when we were just like shot after shot, and peppering the goal. And we ended up with 23 shots to Brighton's 8. But at the same time, one of the sites that does XG for women's games found shows Brighton having a 1.69 XG compared to Spurs 1.36. So they maybe had some really good chances. There was like that one that you mentioned earlier, where Amy's back pass ended up in a shot on goal. And so, and they had a few headed chances as well. So I guess it's kind of fair in that context,
Did
but
they count? I have to ask, sorry not to interrupt you. Did they count the point blank shot that ultimately ended in their goal? Because if so, I feel like that's kind of a conceptually unfair double count because that initial shot that Becky saved would have had a huge XG, right? And also the goal they actually scored.
yeah, so I don't know. The only place where I got referred to that had XG on this game, and I haven't looked to it for it in elsewhere, was Forza Football, which is not a site I usually look at. So I have no idea how accurate but most of their other stats are similar to the ones that I've seen elsewhere. But XG and how people count that is varied. So who knows? But I guess it is just to sort of highlight that we maybe didn't have the best chances all of the time, even though we were creating much more than we had previously. And a lot of those ended up being kind of pretty much straight at the keeper when they were on target or were off target and were maybe more tricky than we hoped or thought they were. And I think so. I guess it was like, I'm really glad that we're taking shots. It's been a long time since we've had a game where we had 23 shots. And that's what we at the start of the season, we were getting all of those shots, but we were also over like achieving our XG. So we would have an XG of 1.2 and score three goals. And that was especially when Martha was completely sort of on song. Beth's now had, a goal a game for the last three games. So maybe she is coming back into that form. If Martha can come back from injury fast, we might have, and Jess is able to keep up some goal scoring form, then maybe we go into the final with, a decent chance of performing or outperforming our XG and kind of getting those goals. One thing I think we did really well in this game that we'd done really badly against Manchester United was press. And especially in the first half, I think that, and I obviously Grace contributed to this and she's not going to be there, but a lot of it was also Jess and Matilda down the wing. Olga contributed it to it and Evelina and Beth to some extent when it was on that wing. And so I think that it was really good to see that, because we were getting turnovers pretty consistently. And again, like, we just haven't done that for a little while. So I don't know, that gave me confidence. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we did have a lot of chances, but I do think there were quite a few of them that, looking back, were not the highest quality of chances. Like, especially the shots that Beth had, those were like outside chances to score, honestly. And I think perhaps Brighton's keeper deserves some credit, especially for the one in the first half, because her positioning was really good on that one. And it was surprising because I thought Sophie Bagley had been their first keeper, and it ended up being, I think her name was Look. I don't know how to say it. But yeah, that was a bit of a surprise to see her in goal, but I think she had a pretty good game, probably, besides Turlin, player of the match for them.
All right. So, any final thoughts on standout performances in either direction that you want to call out?
I mean, Beth was, really strong, especially when we really needed her to get the goal. Ash made a massive difference. I mean, in terms of before and after a substitution, it was kind of night and day. And like you say, Abby, it was sort of like you didn't know how much you missed her until you saw her. I thought all of the subs were decent. Of the players who started, lots of them had moments. I thought this was, Evelina's had some games where she's not been as consistent. I thought she was pretty consistent throughout this game. There was a couple of times where she lost possession, but she pretty much chased the ball down each time and got it back. So I think it was, yeah, I think it was a pretty decent set of performances from all of the players. It's just about getting that sort of like final, I don't know, tweaks to it so that.
I was also pleased to see, I think Becky had a good game where she maybe looked like she might be on a bit of a downward trend again, but that she was definitely the Becky that we love in this game. So great to see that with a big final coming up.
Yeah, I think just shout out to Robert, and I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I really feel like he's handling this sort of period before the final really well in terms of, squad management and game management. And the fact that we didn't risk players like Martha and Drew, who are kind of on the bubble. Also Celine being, held out with her foot injury. I think it's good that he trusts and feels comfortable relying on the entire squad at this point in the season. So yeah, I just felt like, like Rachel said, the subs really made an impact. And for me, Ash was like player of the match for me coming off the bench. So that says a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Agree 100% with all of that.
I was just going to say, like, I am really hoping that Drew and Martha and Celine were being held back just because he didn't want to throw them into it too early and not because they have more serious injuries. They were all there. They all looked perfectly fine and they walked around, but that is an indication of nothing. And, we need at least two of those three to be fit for the final. And I'm hoping all three.
No, that is very true. Yes, I agree.
I'm in full support of this wishful thinking. Let's manifest it into being. All right, so let's move on from the game to a little news around the club, which is really just going to be a series of congratulations today. So first off, congrats to Jess on her 100th appearance for the club. We've been saying a lot of nice things about her lately, but she really deserves it. So let's say some more. Any words for Jess on her 100th appearance?
I mean, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? She's had so much injury. She should have reached that 100th appearance a long time ago. So brilliant to see that she's done it and done it in a season when she's really starting to show her full potential, I think. And Robert said he reckons she's still got another level to go up as well. So brilliant stuff, and long may it continue. We've been talking about Jess and how great a player she can be for a long time, and it's nice to see that she is actually finally getting to that point and getting that recognition and feeling in herself that she can be that kind of player. Because it seems to be that her confidence is one thing that's really been boosted this season. So props to Robert for that.
Yeah, something Beth said, when asked about Jess's 100th appearance really struck me. She said that she's really growing in confidence on and off the pitch. And I think we've seen that kind of in the way she's been approaching interviews. Like, she just seems to have really blossomed this season. And, I think for those of us who have been watching her play for a long time, it's just really beautiful to see her kind of seizing her moment, I guess. And yeah, I love that she's become such an important player to the team this season and had some really big moments, scored some big goals and just really shown how important she is to the squad overall. So congrats to Jess.
Yeah, Jess is amazing. We love her. I don't need to go on about it again. Hopefully, I'm going to be going on about it after she scores the winning goal against Man United. And, her 102nd appearance is going to be the one that we really care about. So.
Yes. And I will just to Caroline's point, because I can't stop thinking about this, I will never forget when the team came to Louisville and Caroline and I went onto the field. And I was like fully elsewhere. Like I was so nervous. I was like shitting my pants. I like could hardly even open my mouth. And the only person in that situation who was more nervous than me was probably Jess talking to us, she was speaking so quietly, we could hardly even hear her, even though we were standing like a foot or two apart. And she was very sweet, of course, but just watching her interviews now, it's like such a night and day difference. And I'm just, yeah, I love seeing her flourish like this. I will. Always, she probably wouldn't want me to, but unfortunately, I will always think back to that moment. All right. Anyway, next congratulations. Just before we last recorded, we found out that Eleanor Heaps, our young goalkeeper, had signed a professional contract running through 2027, I believe. So, congratulations to Eleanor. Any thoughts on her new contract?
I just think it's really good news. It's a sign that the club is really committed to growing young players, longer term contracts. And Robert Villaham confirmed in a press conference when I asked him about it that that they were trying to sign players on longer contracts so that there was an incentive to invest in them, and that even if they then ended up selling them on, that they would get a return. So, it is a sign of a lot of the things that we've been wanting to happen at the club. She talked about learning from Becky and from Barra, and that's you know, it seems like there's good relationships there. And she talked about, like, you know, having trying to play more with her feet and, you know, adapt to Robert's style. And, you know, she just seems someone who is really happy there. When you see her, she's like constantly, you know, all of the sort of TikTok videos that Lena does, that Jess does, that Molly does, like Eleanor is always in them. She is just like, so she just seems to be someone who's like fully integrated in the social parts of the club and the team. So I think it's really good news. And, you know, also, you know, she said she's learned a lot from the goalkeeping coach who is, you know, formerly worked with the men's team. Again, just like really positive about how the club is investing in goalkeeping. And we've seen like the improvements that's produced in Becky this season as compared to like the last couple of seasons, really. So, yeah. Yay, Eleanor. I want to see her on the pitch sometime.
Yeah, I was gonna say we just need her to get her first, you know, senior team appearance. That would be really nice. But I, you know, earlier we were talking about Ash being a great role model for Charlie, and I think having someone like Becky to learn from for Eleanor is really massive, you know, especially in terms of she's identified distribution being something she wants to work on. Well, that is the perfect player to learn it from because Becky's really been kind of at the vanguard of that on the women's side of the game, I would say. So, yeah, feeling good about her, Eleanor getting this new contract. And I agree with Rachel. It shows that the club is really getting more serious about investing in, you know, the goalkeeping side for the women's team. So, yeah, all good things around.
Just made me think that she can also learn from Barra about social media output.
I mean, also, I think it, you know, the way that she was talking about the goalkeeping coach and things shows that the club have been investing in goalkeeping more recently. You know, we changed goalkeeping coaches. No disrespect to the previous goalkeeping coach, but I don't think he had anywhere near as much experience as our new goalkeeping coach does, who's been part of the men's setup as well. So, you know, it's great to see that, and great to see that Eleanor really feels like she's progressing and wants to stay at the club, even though she's not getting, you know, real minutes. But at the same time, and the club are recognizing clearly that she has got the talent to get to that point, because they've given her a nice long contract. So great to see all round.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
one more thing on just the goalkeeping coach. I feel like this was a move that had to happen because we know that goalkeeping is evolving on the women's side of the game. Like, this is something that Chloe Morgan talks about all the time on the Upfront podcast. You know, former Spurs woman goalkeeper, she's talked about how different things are since, you know, she was playing, like, not having that kind of specialist coach necessarily for most of her career. And just the ways that, like, the game is adapting, where you can't just be a really good shot stopper. Like, that's not enough to get that kind of first keeper spot at a team anymore. So yeah, it's good that we're growing with the sport.
Yeah, for sure. And just for those of you who are curious about Eleanor's potential on the pitch, of course, we have not really seen very much of her, but we do know that she was apparently well liked on her loan at Coventry before she broke her finger. So, yeah, that is promising, and I look forward to seeing more of her. Yeah. And one final congratulations. Our loanees, Rhea Percival and Araya Dennis, won the championship with Crystal Palace. So congrats to them as well.
Also, don't forget Anna Philby, who was recently a Spurs player. Great to see her getting lots of time at Crystal Palace and coming up as well.
Is Rhiannon Dean still at Crystal Palace as well? Or
No,
did she
she's at
leave?
Southampton there.
Ah, okay. Oh yeah, true. I did see that. I did see that. We've got players everywhere, man.
I was also just going to say that I think that their manager, was it Laura Kaminski, was assistant manager at Spurs before. So we have lots of associations with them, and well done. The only thing is, like, you know, are those players, I assume, are not going to stay on loan there next season if they're going to be playing in the WSL.
That is interesting. I guess I could see Rhea staying. Playing for a side that's recently come up, but yeah, interesting.
But I wonder if that would then be, if they'd then ask for it to be an actual transfer rather than continuing as a loan, given.
Oh, is her contract not up? I kind of just assumed that it
No, her contract isn't up. She's got another year after this. Whereas, and
was.
Araya, obviously, it's a different kind of loan. So that one is potentially, you know, that would be a Grace loan in a way, wouldn't it? Because it would be a younger player going out on
That is
loan
a
who might
very
come
good
back later,
point.
and she's got a quite long contract.
Yeah, totally. That's a great point. So yeah, I guess we'll have to stay tuned on that over the summer then. So next up, we have Everton on Saturday. Everton are ninth in the WSL and they're level on points with Brighton. They are not having too bad of a time, drawing Arsenal with a late equaliser from a 16-year-old lifelong Everton fan, which we love to see and are very glad it was against Arsenal and not us. They also had a 2-1 win over Brighton the week before, and before that, a 4-1 loss to United. We last faced Everton in November, and that time we drew 1-1, even though we outshot them like 20-7. That seems to be kind of a pattern with Everton, looking at their result against Brighton recently as well. We've talked before about our expectations for the end of the season, and since the last time we spoke, the possibilities have narrowed just a bit. We're currently in sixth place and will at least finish in seventh. Villa are 6 points back in that spot right now, but we have a game in hand and a plus 10 goal difference on them. We're at minus six, they're at minus 16. Fifth place and fourth place are technically still in play for us, given we're 5 points off Liverpool and I think eight off United, although, you know, it would take a lot to get out there of those spots, obviously. And we've got 3 games to play. So with all that in mind, what are your expectations for the Everton game?
I just hope it's not a repeat of last season's game at Everton, because that was not fun. And I remember even the players didn't really come and talk to anybody at the end. A couple of them did, but mostly it was just a shocking... it was a good atmosphere in terms of banter with the Everton fans, but the game was not good. And I would like us to put that one to bed and get one of those nice wins where we... I mean, we don't have to, you know, smash lots of goals, but I would just like a convincing win and, you know, set us on the path right for Wembley. And yeah, as you say, not really too concerned about the league position, but I think just from where we are, it would be nice to get a nice little win out of this one. And Everton are looking good, but they have had lots of injuries this season. I think they could be a more of a threat next season, depending on what happens off the pitch for them, of course. But yeah, I'd just like to get our own back for last season, please.
Well, on a positive note, neither of the players that scored in that game are still playing for Everton. So there's that. But I'm looking at our head-to-head, and apparently we have never beaten them at Everton in the league. So this is a good time for it, you know, to break that streak. But I agree, Sean, like it feels like they've kind of done a lot with a little this season in terms of having really limited squad availability. And, you know, I think Sorensen is a great coach. So I don't think it's going to be an easy game, but it does feel like one that we really could use a win in, just to have, like you said, that positive momentum going into the final. And I think we can do it. So feeling pretty positive.
Yeah, it's like a Scandinavian managers matchup. But I like, you know, not, I mean, Sorensen is a manager, I think, does a really great job. And so it's not like when we play Arsenal and there's another Swedish manager we like less. I'm sorry, I'm just being very random. But yeah, I think it is. It's one of those frustrating ones where it feels like we should win. And it's one of the reasons why it's so frustrating, is our games against Everton are often, yeah, we achieve less than we should be. Actually, you know what? I was thinking last season at Everton, I think that was back when, or am I confusing this with the season before? No, I think, was it last season when we went there? It was when Evelina was playing as a nine up next to Beth. Yeah, I think it was.
I think I have memory holes if that did happen.
That. So that's how far we've come. This is where we were when we played them last time round. I mean, they are hard to score against. They tend to play five at the back. You know, on the other hand, the only goal they scored against us in our last game was a penalty. So we conceded 3 penalties really early in the season, and we haven't conceded any since. So maybe like we're on a not conceding penalties run, and it's all going to be good.
Can I gently push you guys for some score predictions?
I'm going to say A 2-0 win. I think we're going to finally get another clean sheet.
I think I'm going to go with 3-1.
Damn, I was going to go 3-1. Like, this part of me is like, it's going to be a freaking 1-1 draw and I'm going to be so miserable, but I can't predict that because I just don't want it. So, what I really want is 4-1. Well, I want 4-0, but I'm going 4-1, just like the optimistic side. I'm like, sometime we're going to get a lot of goals, please.
I certainly like the sound of that. Well, that's all for today, folks. You've been listening to
Abby.
entertainment. I thought I was gonna get away with okay, fine. I am gonna go a comfortable 2-1. We are not going to feel concerned about this at any point. So for real this time, that is all for today, folks. You've been listening to N17 Women. You can find us in all the usual places if you want to chat, and come on, you Spurs.